myself again. But it's the only way you're ever gonna learn. You look back and it's all in the past.
Hi and welcome to NUFC Matters with me, Steve. This is another episode of Dream Team, where we get one of our regular panelists to come on and pick their all-time Newcastle United 11 and pick their substitute and their manager as well. So I'm pleased to welcome Richie Story. Richie, how are you?
I'm all right, Steve. You?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good. And as always, you get a chance to pick your all-time 11, mate. So who are you going to start with in goal?
It was quite an easy choice, actually, for me, because he was just so consistent whenever I saw him play. Bear in mind, we've had a few good goalkeepers since like the late 80s and early 90s. You know, you look at Pav, you know, Tim Krull, even Dubravka now. But for me, I hands down, Shea Given was our best goalkeeper I've seen in a black and white shirt. I just thought he was outstanding. A fantastic shot stopper. You see, obviously being in the right place at the right time, he could make multiple saves at one go. Just hands down, he's experienced. He wasn't afraid to let his defence know there was something wrong. I know he wasn't the tallest of goalkeepers, but he seemed to fill the goal and be in the right place at the right time. Just for me, I just thought he was hands down our best goalkeeper. And I was absolutely gutted when he left. It was a shame that, you know, he'd been part of that spine that we'd had for God knows how many years. It was just a shame when, you know, he left, because it was, I think I would love to have finished his career at the club. And I think, to be fair, I think he probably would have loved to have finished his career at the club as well.
It's funny because, I mean, a lot of people have picked Shea Given throughout these teams. I record them and we'll put them up when we're having a day off. But it's amazing how many people have picked Shea Given. What did you make about him leaving the club? You said that you were disappointed, but do you think he gave enough service? Do you think it was, you know, I remember that particular period when he left. And although I was disappointed, I could thoroughly understand why he wanted to leave, because Newcastle was on a downward spiral.
I understand why he left. I think deep down he probably didn't want to go, to play one of the hardest decisions he ever made. I don't blame him for going, because as I said, we knew it was the start of the horrendous era, wasn't it, really, under Mike Ashley and stuff like that. So I think if that never happened, I seriously think he would have finished his career at the club. I don't think we would have ever sold him. He was just so consistent. You know, he was an Irish international for years. The amount of caps he had for them. And I think he was still Newcastle if it hadn't been for what had happened at that time. It was just awful year at the club, really, wasn't it? So, but no, I don't blame him. Welcome back to the club anytime, if you remember your coach or anything like that. Just a shame he left under the circumstances he did.
Yeah, it certainly was. Okay, depending on what formation you're going for, are you going for a three at the back? Are you going for a back four?
I'm going for three at the back.
Okay, so give us the player who's on the right-hand side of this back three.
Well, I went for someone who... I actually grew up around a little bit, because I actually used to do all my coaching courses with Newcastle North Dublin Development Centre with his son when he was younger, and that's David McCreary. I just always had a soft spot for him. I thought he was an absolutely fantastic player. You know, I know he can play in the centre half, he can play in that holding role in midfield as well. He just gave all for the black and white. He bled black and white. You know, he came up. The Irish were always passionate anyway, but you look at people like obviously Shea Given before and John Anderson, players like that. He just wore his heart on his sleeve for the club, and he gave 100% every single time. And you even saw that when he went to the World Cup with Northern Ireland, stuff like that. He was just fantastic, and it was good being around him a little bit. Obviously, when I was young, I was obviously 7, 6, 7, 8 when I first met him, and he was just, you know, just a little bit of an idol for me as well. I never played in that similar sort of position as what he did. I was more of a winger, but I still didn't stop me appreciating how good a player he was.
top class act. You know, probably up there with the likes of John Anderson in that particular era as a tough tackler, and you know, and meant business. But yeah, certainly one of those players who doesn't get as much credit as he possibly should for that 83-84 promotion team. But yeah, fantastic player and great to see him in. Not a popular choice, it has to be said, amongst the teams that we've had so far. But
it was a bit of a you know, I had a soft spot for growing up in the 80s, but I mean, because of the connection I had training with his son. And it's weird because the grassroots football club I'm associated with now at Chesty Street United, he's actually an ambassador for the club as well. So it's sort of like come full circle around a little bit as well. So it's nice to see that sort of thing. But no, he was very underrated, but not in my books, and obviously not in your books either, Steve.
No, brilliant stuff, mate. Great stuff. Great to see him in one of these dream teams. Okay, so who's in the middle?
I went for Mr. Flamboyant Philip Albert. I loved watching him play. One of my best moments ever as a Newcastle fan was the 5-0 against Man United. Sitting in a bar in Menorca with my stepdad, the only Newcastle fan in the whole of the pub, it's a 16-year-old surrounded by Man United fans, and just that chip over Schmeichel will long live. It's probably my best moment as a Newcastle fan. Just the atmosphere, the pin drop, and to be fair, the actual round of applause that Albert got for the audacity to try that on Schmeichel, who was probably the best goalkeeper of the 90s, if not alone the Premier League era in my eyes. But I just love Philip Albert. He just looked so calm on the ball, you know, when he brought the ball out the back, Belgian international. I think the only thing for me is I would like to have seen him longer at the club than he actually was. But when we got him from Anderlecht, he was an international, so it was someone that I thought we needed, like a centre back that was strong on the ball, and he was that, and comfortable on the ball. And I just absolutely love Albert. He just gave me so many good memories in a black and white shirt.
Yeah, great choice. Okay, so who makes up the back three, Rich?
Someone who wasn't at the club, he was at the club for 18 months, but I think that when he was playing, we probably looked the most solid defensively that I've seen follow up in Newcastle. And I went with Jonathan Woodgate. I just thought he was phenomenal. I actually think he's, you know, barring his injuries that he had, obviously, when he went off to Real Madrid and then the second half of his career, he could have probably went on to be one of England's greats if it hadn't been for all those injuries. He just seemed to read the game so well. He was a calm and presence at the back. Solid, he just knew he was always in the right place at the right time. He was just, seriously, if you were telling any kid at the time who wanted to be a centre-half, just watch Jonathan Woodgate in a black and white shirt. I haven't seen a better overall centre back at the club since following Newcastle, before Woodgate really, and afterwards, if I'm honest. I don't think I've ever found the centre back since he left like him.
No, top class. I mean, as you say, injury affected his career throughout. But I've got to agree, one of the best centre halves we've seen at St James's Park. And
the funny thing is, Stephen, you look, he partnered Ferdinand at Leeds and up for a short period of time. But I always thought he was a much better centre back than Ferdinand. And I think if it hadn't been for the situation from his injuries, I think he still would have been a much better centre back than Ferdinand. I think he's probably one of the best overall centre backs in Premier League history. I'm honest, hands down, he's a much better player than Ferdinand. And to be fair, when you look at people who parted Ferdinand, like Vidic, Terry, Woodgate, I always think he's been the weaker of the two out of all the ones that parted Ferdinand.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, he oozed confidence when he was on the ball. I think that's the thing that always sticks out about him for me, you know, that he essentially, when he got the ball, you know, when we've had a lot of centre-halves in Newcastle where there's a collective groan, you know, when they start moving forward because they think they're going to lose it. But, you know, he was the first centre-half I remember that I actually felt calm about getting the ball. But,
yeah, great. I totally agree with you. And I think we've watched Newcastle pretty much like you're a little bit older than me, so you would watch it for a similar period of time. I still don't think we'd replace someone like him. I don't think we've seen a better overall centre half at Newcastle.
Yeah, I agree, mate. Great goalkeeper and great back three. So obviously in your team, we're going across the midfield now with a four. So who's going to be on the right-hand side of the four?
On the right-hand side of the four, I was torn between two players. At the entertainer's era, obviously you had Keith Gillespie, and you especially look at some of the times, he was just an old-fashioned winger. You know, you would get half a yard on the player and just put the ball in. I don't think I've probably seen the best crosser of the ball at Newcastle on the right flank and Keith Gillespie. You always put them, the ball exactly where it needed to be. But I enjoyed watching Nobby Solano. I just thought his overall passion for the club, the game. Bear in mind, he's a South American as well. First proving to play in the Premier League. But he just got the club. He got the passion from the fans. He bought into it. You know, everybody, you know, goes on about Nobby's trumpet and stuff like that. And some of his dances he's doing, he scored goals. But I just used to love watching him. You know, the relationship you seem to have with Alan Shearer as well. You always seem to know where Alan was going to be making a run so he could get on the end of one of the balls in. Fantastic set piece taker as well. And I just as I said before, I just love watching him. It was just a joy to watch. Really, really was, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely top class. And the fact that he came back as well, I think, you know, it tells you a lot about how he feels about the club. And obviously we get him on the show every now and then. He comes on and talks and he's still got the passion, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. I love watching him. I've watched like two or three shows since you've had him back on. And it's lovely to hear how he still, you can tell just by the way he talks, how passionate about, he is about the black and white. And it's, I think that's refreshing to see, especially from an overseas player. But especially a South American, because you know there are a lot of people tend to think that a lot of South American players, unless you go to one of the big so-called big six or you know Real Madrid or Barcelona, that they could be like mercenaries and stuff like that. But Solano was never like that. You could tell he wanted to be here. He loved playing in front of the fans at St James's Park. He never wanted to leave in the first place. Do you know what I mean? I think he didn't want to leave, but he did unfortunately. But I'm glad he got that chance to come back and finish, you know, like finish his career strong. He did at the back end of his career with Newcastle as well.
Did you go to his debut in the reserves?
I didn't know. I didn't, unfortunately. I would have loved to have. But I just one of his favourite goals. Actually, favourite goals he scored was at Elland Road. I was at there in the away end at Elland Road. And I was away with the lads from the football team, and he scored in the winning game. It just topped the weekend off for us. It was just a great game and. You know, I remember when he ran up and scored. We were actually behind the goal when he scored, and you could just see the joy in his face because he scored. You know, the goal that put us on the road to victory that day. It was lovely to see, Steve.
Yeah, I remember. I was at the reserve game. There was about 5,500 of us there for the reserve game. I think we won 5-2, and he was. You know, you could tell then he just oozed class. Do you know what I mean? He oozed class. Yeah. You knew he was going to be a player. And, you know, from my perspective.
I totally agree because when you look at Solano, he always seemed to have plenty of time on the ball. Even when he was, like, pressed for it, he just seemed to, like, it seemed as though the ball was stuck to his foot sometimes. He just had that X factor for me. And that's one of the reasons why I had to put him on the right side over Keith Gillespie. To be fair, I did like Keith Gillespie, but I had to go for Solano over Keith Gillespie.
Okay, so you've got Solano in that midfield. Who is on the opposite flank?
One of my all-time favourite players in a Newcastle shirt. I remember when I first moved to Chelsea Street when I was 14, playing out in the street with your mates, kicking the ball about, having the claret and blue hoop. Granted college football shirt on with Ginola on the back. I just absolutely loved him. You could just see the charisma he had, the confidence, how flamboyant he was. And obviously being a winger, I didn't play on the left, I played on the right, but it was someone that you looked at and goes, he would be the player I want to be. I just, some of the goals he scored as well, fantastic. My favourite Ginola goal, a lot of people sometimes go for the one he scored against Man, but I always like the one he scored against Ferran Kvaras. I thought that was just a phenomenal goal where he looped it up and then hit it at the top corner. I just thought absolutely fantastic goal, but he was just a joy to watch. And when he went to Spurs, I was absolutely distraught. I was nearly as distraught when he left as when Cole went to Man United.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, he was, you know, he was a wizard, really. You know, just out of interest, where did you stand on Laurent Robert? I mean, a lot of people who do these teams are always going, oh god, it's either Ginola or Robert. Which one? You know, obviously you picked Ginola. What did Ginola have that Robert didn't for you?
I think he came. It was part because he was part of that entertainers team. And there were so many good memories, and I think that's why he stands out a lot more compared to Robert. Don't get me wrong, I loved Laurent Robert as well. You know, he could hit somebody who's probably one of the most players at Newcastle who had one of the most powerful shots going. They always seemed like when he hit it, it was like excellent missile. It was gone. But I just loved watching Ginola. Everything he did, it just seemed to be with ease. I can't believe he didn't get a lot more caps than he did for France. You know, he came over for, I think it was something about $3.5 million or something when Keegan bought him in. But Keegan sold the club to him. You know, he didn't care whether it was, you know, how cold it was in the region. You know, even when you watch the Entertainers programme on Sky, and he tells you, with a wry smile, he tells you how good that he wasn't standing in the showers at Maiden Castle with a student next to him and stuff like that. He sees the funny side of it. He's not like a prima donna or anything. I think that's just one of the reasons. He's such a good player and flamboyant and perhaps overconfident on pitch. He was a down-to-earth bloke. And I think that's one of the reasons why I preferred him over Robert.
Okay, good stuff. Okay, that's your left and right flanks in your midfield sorted. Who is your first player in the centre?
First person in the centre, and I know some people have been trying to force him into their all-time Newcastle team, and I was a bit the same because in the 3-5-2 formation, I always like a holding player, but unfortunately, I've got against me like beliefs in that formation, and I haven't put a holding midfielder in there this time, just because we were so spoiled for choice with the attacking players that Newcastle have had in the time, and I've been looking up to follow them. But I went for Robbie as the first player to go in the midfield. You know, a lot of people always said about Cockneys didn't like to come up, want to come to the northeast. And I still love the story about Keegan telling Rob Lee and selling the story that Newcastle was closer than Middlesbrough. But you know, he came in and he got is another one who a bit like Solano, he got the club. He came at that time. I think when you look back at the season, we got promoted from the Championship. You know, that I think that game against Leicester, the final game of the season, when we won 7-1. It was just brilliant. And he was fantastic on that day. And he grew from strength to strength. And I think I was surprised he didn't play for England more than he did. I think he was overlooked quite a lot. I don't know why. You can't even use the excuse that he wasn't playing at a top club at the time because he was playing for Newcastle. At that time we were probably one of the best two teams in the country at the time. But he wore his heart on his sleeve. He gave everything for the shirt every single time he put it on. You know, a lot of the ex-pros that have played with him say he's one of the best players they've played with. His relationship that he had with Alan Shearer was, you know, it was great through that spine of the team. Still love that ball he played for Alan Shearer against Villa, where he cracked cross-field ball, where Shearer volleyed it from the right-hand side of the box at the far top left-hand corner against Schmeichel. Just love that. And then, you know, even when you see the banter between the two of them when it's shown on Twitter and stuff, and you know, Shearer will say, oh, it was a great goal. But then Rob Lee will always put his kind of comment to the air. But the ball in was better, wasn't it? And stuff like that. But no, I love Rob Lee. And I think with it not going for the holding player, I have someone with the legs that could go box to box.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout. Who joins him in the middle?
My favourite player of all time, because I just loved everything about him. I just love the confidence, his natural ability on the ball, things he did for Newcastle, things he did when he was at England. Some of the best memories of this lad. I think everyone will probably know what I'm talking about, but I went for Gazza. He's just, you know, I know he's had his problems in his life, but I think he's one of those people who I think everyone would agree, he was just naturally gifted. Every single thing that he did, it came naturally to them. Sometimes you can tell a good player, you know, like Cristiano Ronaldo, he's a very, very good player, but he's had to work for it. I don't think he's not a naturally gifted player like, say, Messi is. Gazza was the same sort of boat. And there was a lot of comparisons in that early, let's say the 80s and then the early 90s, when Maradona was at Napoli in that era, and they came head-to-head quite a bit. And it always seems to be that these mercurial talents, it's a shame, always seem to have their off-field issues. Because if they didn't have the off-field issues, you start to think, how much better could they have been? With Gazza, he had the case, there's obviously these trouble with alcoholism, and you know, similar with George Best, and Maradona obviously had issues with drugs. But you start to think how good these players could have been if they didn't have those outside influences that affected them. But I just loved watching Gazza. He just took the man on with ease. Some of the through balls, it's cheated me up the amount of times we've seen over the last few days of the Eurostar on his goal against Scotland. Just every single time you see it, you just see it. You just look and go, ah, just touch a class every single time. Just love Gazza.
Yeah, top player. And I mean, lucky enough to see him play, as you say, we're about the same age, you know, and more or less gone to Newcastle. And the game, mentioned it before on the Retro Show, the game that always stands out is the Crystal Palace game. And it was an awful game in the FA Cup. But Gazza hit that ball towards the Gallagher end, and the ball just rattled and stuck in the stanchion. We won 1-0. You know, we got through to the fifth round of the FA Cup, which was a rarity for us, and obviously got beat against Wimbledon. It is, yeah, you're right. Nothing's changed, has it? But to be there that day and see Gazza do that was brilliant, you know. And it's a memory which I'll have. It's probably the goal that I always talk about the most, and probably the best goal that I can say that I'd seen at St James's Park. Shearer against Everton, of course. Shearer against Aston Villa. Seen Beardsley score some absolute rakers. You could go on, but that goal about Gazza, it stands out. It's a goal, and it's a period in time as well, with the fences up and, you know, the Gallagher as it was open-ended, and, you know, it's like a day gone by now. It's a bygone era. So, great. I always love it when somebody picks Gazza. So, great shout, mate. What a midfield that is. I mean, it's one which, you know, essentially could tear teams apart. So you've gone 3-4-3.
I've got a 4-1-2, so I got a number 10 behind the front two.
Oh, okay. So you've got a number 10 in there, right? Okay. So who's your number 10? Let's go with your number 10 then.
I know he's your favourite Newcastle player. I think it's scandalous that anybody who's a proper Newcastle fan cannot put them in their top 11. I think he's very, very similar to Gascoigne. He was just phenomenal. He had an eye for a pass. You know, I think the relationship he had, I didn't get to see him as much in the earlier part of his career, but obviously the latter part when he came back to Newcastle and when he started his relationship off with Andy Cole. You know, Andy Cole scored a lot of goals for Newcastle, but a lot of them were made by Peter Beardsley. The partnership that they had, that had just a fantastic understanding. He was... Seriously, he had plenty of energy. He just seemed to be all over that the half of the pitch all the time. Always in and around the box. I always felt that he was the sort of player that you needed to have someone on him because he was capable of conjuring up anything from anywhere. He's, as I said, his vision was just exceptional. Some of the goals he scored were fantastic as well. But he did it with, it's a bit like with Solano, that it just, he did it with so much ease as well. He's that sort of talent that creatively Newcastle, I don't think, have had for a long time. And I think Newcastle are crying out for a similar sort of player to Peter Beardsley, who can just play in that role just behind the front two. And, you know, I obviously he left under bad circumstances when he was coaching and stuff like that. But I tell you what, he would be able to teach you a thing or two on the football pitch. His brain was just outstanding. And how anybody who was a Newcastle fan could not put him in their 11. I'd be shocked if anyone left him out, to be fair. I just can't understand how they would leave him out.
Yeah, still likes a game now and then in the Pavel Cup as well. Always great to see Peter in. And yeah, some teams. So your front two, again, something which has caused a lot of stress for people trying to pick their team. But you think it would be easy, you know, but it's not, because we've had so many great number nines in the period of time that, you know, you've supported the club, and it's always difficult decisions. So who's your first centre forward?
Look, the first one was the easiest, and that was Alan Shearer. Obviously, on our loaded show as well, we just did our all-time Premier League 11, and he was the first name on the team sheet for that. The fact that he's, you know, he came back to us after 1996, and he stayed for 10 years. The only thing I'm gutted about, he didn't win anything with Newcastle. What I always loved is the fact he wanted to play for us so much that he turned down go to Man United, where he went on and have so many, you know, trophies in that period of time, because he wanted to play for his hometown club. I get that. I'd have done the same. I know you'd have probably done the same as well, Stephen, if you were good enough to be in that sort of position. But he was just a joy to watch. He's the perfect number nine. He could do all sorts. He was good in the air. He was actually quite quick to get the places. Obviously, I know he lost a little bit of his pace later on in his career after a few of the injuries he had, which were serious injuries as well, which also goes to show how good his goal-scoring record was because of how much time he had out with the injuries that he had. But he could score any sort of goal. He could score a free kick. Obviously, his penalty record was fantastic. He was good in the air. His movement was great. He's finishing one-on-one with the goalie to beat the man in. He's probably been, since I've been alive, I'd say the all-around best number nine England have seen, not just Newcastle.
Yeah, top-class striker, and obviously still at this moment in time, the Premier League's leading goal scorer and the club's leading goal scorer, a record which I can't see being broken for some time yet. Okay, so who partners him up front?
Only because of what I mentioned previously. Because I was so devastated when I heard the news that Andy Cole had gone to Man United. I had to go for Andy Cole. I just, that partnership, obviously with having Beardsley in the team as well, he's the understanding that they had. You know, you look at the hat trick he scored against Liverpool, and he was on in the right place every single time. That Beardsley was about. He's, you know, that's when we came up with the season that we won the championship. And then he just kicked on again the first season in the Premier League. And, you know, fit that we got him from Bristol City. As I said, he was just brilliant. I was torn between him and Les Ferdinand, because I thought Shearer and the partnership Shearer and Ferdinand had was probably the best partnership I think that I've seen at Newcastle United. And I would have loved to have seen that partnership grow over the limited period of time that they actually had together. But I just thought that Cole had that striker's instinct to be in the right place at the right time. And I think that Beardsley playing behind Shearer and Cole would just make that slight front three an absolute beast to play against. I don't think anybody would like to play against those front three.
No, I would agree. Fantastic 11, that. So, obviously, plenty of room on the bench. Give us your first substitute.
I'll just start with who I was briefly mentioning, Les Ferdinand. It was a tough choice between him and Andy Cole for me, because that partnership that he had with Alan Shearer in 96-97, it was just amazing. It was just brilliant to watch. To have two strikers of that calibre at the team at the same time was just unbelievable. And, you know, I think one of the other things that I really liked about him was obviously when he first joined from QPR, he was given the number 9 shirt. But then when Shearer came, you know, he gave Alan Shearer the number 9 shirt, and he took him up to the number 10. But their partnership was just brilliant. And it could have worked for England as well, if it hadn't been for Teddy Sheringham in that, to go along out on Shearer. But I just thought Les Ferdinand was brilliant. I still idolised the club. He's doing a fantastic job now, director of football at QPR. Something I probably think that a lot of Newcastle fans would love for him to take up. But it's our club if he ever decided to go down that route.
Yeah, I mean, you know, great player and great substitute to have as well. It has to be said. Okay, so who's next on the bench?
Next on the bench is someone that I talked briefly about before, and it, only because it was a toss-up between him and Solano. But I went for Keith Gillespie. As I mentioned previously, I just thought when he got the ball, he wasn't flamboyant. He was just a normal winger, and you know, he used to get that half a yard to a yard. But as soon as he did that, bang, the ball was gone, and it was in the box, it was in the danger area. You look at like one game that will always stand out for a lot of Newcastle fans is the game when we beat Barcelona 3-2 in the Champions League. The balls that he put in for Asprilla were just brilliant. You know, that's one of those ones where he just dips his shoulder, bang. Ball's gone in the box, and it was just brilliant. And you know, a lot of people forget that he was like a make weight in the Andy Cole deal. And obviously, we know now Keegan saw the bigger picture. And obviously, remember everyone, all the Newcastle fans will remember Keegan on the steps. And people are saying, you know, I think when we watched the editing, I can't remember if it was John Beresford who mentioned it, who said about Keegan must have seen the bigger pictures and had something lined up. And obviously, Keith Gillespie came in, was a part of that. But then obviously, we got Alan Shearer in after that. So, yeah, it was a fantastic servant for the club. I know you have him on the show regularly as well. Really good club. Obviously, still loves the club as well. But I just thought it was a close toss-up between him and Solano. So, I put him at least on the bench.
Okay. Who's bench warming next to him then?
Obviously, I had to put a defender on there, and for me, it was a bit of a. I think when obviously I'd done this originally, when you started to do a lot of them with some of the other lads, I'd done mine then, just in case you ever asked us to come on the show. But I actually, it was around the time when unfortunately we lost Glenn Roeder, and I remember watching him the early part of my career, and he was. Just a leader. He was, I know obviously a lot of the time we were in, we got him, we were in league, obviously what you would class the championship now. I didn't care. He was just a leader on the pitch. We loved him. It's hard not to get emotional when you talk about him because of how much of a servant he was to the club. And obviously how much he loved our club as well. Another player who came up from down south puts that disbelief that Cockneys won't come up here and won't give all the shirt, but he did. And he also got the privilege to actually manage the club as well, which he, in my eye, I thought he did a really decent job. Obviously, one of our last European campaigns he was part of. I really, really had a lot of time for Glenn Roeder. And unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And, you know, I hope Glenn rests in peace because what he did during his career and obviously how his life ended was an utter shame. But I think he'll always live long in all of Newcastle hearts, Newcastle fans' hearts.
Yeah, absolute legend, Glenn. Yeah, yeah, mate. Okay, another sub that you've got is...
Yeah, I got my goalkeeper on there, and I went to Pav. I love watching Pav play. He was that sort of, you know, the continental style goalkeeper. He was a fantastic shot stopper. That age when we started off with the entertainers and stuff like that, but I just love some of the saves he used to make. And another overseas player who got the club, and you know, I think a lot of people, some people think when it comes to putting him in the team, he wasn't an overly great goalkeeper, but I think I used to love watching him. Yes, he had the odd mistake in him, but which goalkeeper hasn't? But some of the saves he used to make were just brilliant. I could have easily put him in the air. In my starting lineup for many reasons, but he's another person that unfortunately is no longer with us. But love the club, the fans love him, always will. Obviously, yourself, you set up the Pav Cup as well in his honour. Really deserved. It's a great thing that you did there, Steve. Obviously, I know you've got a good relationship with his brother and stuff like that.
For me, it's funny. I was speaking about him. He's never far from my thoughts at all. Managed him. I managed him for a year. It was the first player I ever signed a contract with. When I was a football agent, he asked me to manage him. He was the one who pushed us into being a football agent. And to represent Pav, even for such a short period of time as 12 months, was an absolute honour. You know, and we got his book out. We got his. You know, I got. Will Scott, the journalist, to write his book, and you know, everything I said I was going to do for him, I managed to do. But that trip over to, you know, the trip over to the Czech Republic, staying with his family, going to his house, you know, going to his last resting place, you know, going to the funeral, it was heart-wrenching and heartbreaking. And I made that pilgrimage with, you know, Natalie, with Lorenzo, with Tom, with, you know, good close friends of him, Dennis. And, of course, Steve Howie and Steve Harper came with us as well. And it's a trip I'll never forget. It's a trip I wish I'd never had to make under those circumstances. But, yeah, I do keep in touch with the family. And, you know, it's great, you know, every now and then to be able to bring them back over here and, you know, and keep in touch. But they always send us photographs. It's just it's a fantastic relationship, and it's one which I treasure a lot, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Because like, one of the things I used to do when I was younger was I used to collect football programs. I've got a lot of Newcastle programs over the years, going back to 60s, 70s, 80s. And then, unfortunately, when I stopped going to games and I started having a family and stuff like that, I wasn't going to games as much, so I didn't buy any programs. But one of my friends, I was coaching his son when I was doing my grassroots coaching, he's got a season ticket in Newcastle, and it was the Man United game, the game after Pav unfortunately passed, and he was on the cover. I think it might be in the same picture actually that you just put up. It was on the front cover of the programme, and I asked my friend would he get me a copy of it, just because I thought it was such a momentous programme to honour such a fantastic servant for the club, who will always be sorely missed by all Newcastle fans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, mate, who else is on the bench?
My last place, I just went with the five subs, but I had to go for Mickey Quinn. Another fantastic number nine for Newcastle. I thought he was a fantastic character off the pitch as well. But he's some of the goals he scored for Newcastle was absolutely fantastic. The partnership that he had with Mark McGee was a great partnership that they had. I think I always felt a bit sorry from that. He'd gone from being such a leading the line at Newcastle, and obviously when Keegan came in, and for some reason Keegan just didn't fancy him. But I know, like Quinny's, when he was saying he was trying to prove Kevin wrong and stuff like that. And he didn't just down tools. He kept on trying to impress him, and just unfortunately, Kevin didn't see him as the striker that he wanted to lead the line. I don't know whether he you know, Kevin has obviously, with being the fantastic striker that he was himself, just didn't see characteristics in Quinny that, you know, he wanted in his strike for himself. But he was fantastic in the black and white shirt. Someone who still loves the club now, I think probably there's only his own hometown team of Liverpool that he probably talks more passionately about than Newcastle. The fact, you know, he used to still write about the club and the Chronicle at the time. And he's still, you know, the amount of time he tweets about the club as well. It shows how much of an effect the club left on him. But because he was a sort of, you know, he did everything for the black and white when he was in that. And Newcastle fans, all they want off a lot of people is when they put that shirt on, they give 110% every week. They don't care whether we win every single week. But he did that, and he'll always be warm to all the Newcastle fans that we have. So I went for Quinny.
Great stuff. Excellent. So who's going to manage this team of yours?
Well, I think it's the toss-up always between Kevin Keegan and Sir Bobby Robson. And the only reason why I chose this person is because growing up in my teens, it was the best football I've ever seen in the black and white shirt to this day. And that was under Kevin Keegan's stewardship. He just, I know it was a no-hold-barred type, you know, you might score four, or we will score five type philosophy sometimes. But the football that was on show week in, week out, the atmosphere around the city, in the ground when he was there, you know, still looking back, that entertainers programme that Sky had on recently, the atmosphere around the training ground where, you know, he opened up the doors and people were there, and you had thousands of people just to come and watch them train on a weekend, during the week, sorry. He was just brilliant. Obviously, he finished his career at Newcastle. You know, he's got family from up here as well. But he just got the club. And I suppose going with the lineup that I have would have three centre-backs, and then having Ginola, Beasley, Gascoigne, Solano, Shearer and Cole. There's only one manager who could probably deal with all that attack and flair. And that would have to be Kevin Keegan.
Great stuff. Fantastic, that. And there it is. You kindly put it together on one of those graphics.
Yeah.
Great team, given. Then we've got Woodgate, Albert and McCreary, Ginola, Lee, Gascoigne, Solano, and then up top, Beardsley, just behind Cole and Shearer. On the bench, substitutions. Wow, what a bench. Ferdinand, Gillespie, Roda, Cernicek and Quinn. And managing the team is Kevin Keegan. Thanks very much for doing that, Rich. Fantastic team. I just run through the sponsors. Big shout out to SpiderVPN for all your internet security. Google SpiderVPN and they will help you sort out the problems you might have with protecting your passwords and stuff. So give the lads a shout at SpiderVPN. Big shout out to them for being sponsors. Skipsandbins.com as well. Telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com. Website www.skipsandbins.com. Easy contract, free and pay-as-you-go waste collection. Big shout out to them as well. And to qtechshop.co.uk, the makers of pool tables and snooker tables in Wall's End. And to Jab Signature, who make all of our flyers. First time visitor to the channel, then hit the Newcastle Legends logo in the bottom right-hand corner. And that's it. You can subscribe. Hit the thumbs up to like the video and click share to share it to your other social media. Drop into the comments box. Even though the show isn't live, you can still comment and speak to like-minded Newcastle fans. If you missed any of our shows, we're always available as well. If you're out walking the dog or the cat or whatever else you've got, you can listen to podcasts such as iTunes and Spotify, Podbean, etc. All your podcast providers, just look for NUFC Matters. Don't forget as well our website, nufcmatters.com. All of our T-shirts, cups, phone covers, you name it, are on there, including our best-selling cult T-shirt as well. And we will be back, I'm sure, with another dream team. Plenty of those to get through, to get you through the summer while we have a little bit of time off. But for now, Rich, thanks very much, mate. Take care. See you soon, mate.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having us on, Steve. Much appreciated.
Cheers, pal.
again. But it's the only way you're ever gonna live.